Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. What's up, Crossroads Sports Nation? It's Crossroads Sports Radio. It is episode 96, already at number 96. We're getting closer to that 100, that triple-digit spot. It's Brandon Reif is your host. Jonathan Birdsong joins me again. JB, how are we?
Good evening, Crossroads fam and Brandon Reif. How are we doing?
Good. JB, it's been a while. Normally, we usually communicate a lot during the week, so it's kind of been a weird week because we haven't really talked too much this past week.
Well, it's been a weird week because the temperature in Indianapolis went from basically about 75, 80 last week to about 45, 50 this week. So it's been a weird week. Fall hit us kicked us in the rear end pretty hard, I would say, this week. I'm trying to figure out like why our conversations hadn't been necessarily, been popping like how we usually have them. I know there's been a lot of buzz on both our Twitter accounts about the variety of sports, whether it be basketball, football, or Major League Baseball. So, again, I'm ready to just dive right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a great show. We're going to talk some NFL, some college football, the MLB postseason. We're at the we got the American League Championship Series still going on, and then obviously the Nationals going to the World Series. We'll talk with Indianapolis recorder Tyler Fenwick here later on with that. We got a little bit of Pacers talk, all our Pacer fans. We got the Pacers talk has begun. So, some people are ready to crown them. Some are not. So we'll continue that along the way. Mm-hmm. All right, JB, let's go straight in the NFL. And since we're doing a midweek show, there's no reason for us to talk in depth about every game just because everybody knows by now some people have already moved on for the next week. So, we're just going to hit some highlights, some key points and storylines from this past week that were huge. Talk about those and such. So the first one I want to talk about here is, let's get right into it. The Dallas Cowboys, John, have lost three straight games. They lose to the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Sweet Lou's got to be doing skips, jumping around happy.
Would have to be, man. You know, Sam Darnold comes back from his episodes of mono. He's like a month-long episode of mono and kind of outplays the quarterback who's wanting $30 million. And, heck, he's not a rookie. He's a second player. But kind of outplays, the guy that kind of turned down $20 million or $17, whatever it was that he turned down, right? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that was a shocker because that's like a game that – the Dallas Cowboys needed to get off the schneid after, losing the Green. You never want to take a loss at all, not at all. And there's nothing, even with the Green Bay game that they lost the last game, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. And we know the history that the Packers have about putting streaks together. The Dallas Cowboys have to be disappointed in all facets because they came out. The season, a guns a-blazing, and everybody from the holdout with Ezekiel Elliott and, like I said, with Dak, kind of turning down $17, $15 million, because of his what he believes his market value is, and then you lay the eggs against the Jets. It's kind of uncalled for, nobody – it's amazing, somebody said, Jerry Jones fired Tom Landry, but he's held on to Jason Garrett for this amount of time, man. Without being in the heart of it, I don't know what the Dallas Cowboys can do because now the NFC was kind of theirs. I said it. The NFC was theirs to win and lose, and looks like they're trying to lose it.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
They've got a big game this Sunday night at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's that's pretty much for the division. You can't lose a home game to the Eagles. That's DEFCON. That's DEFCON 1. If you lose at home to your rival.
Yeah.
And that would be four straight as well.
Right.
It's and as of course they play late. They start coming back late against the Jets and all, but I honestly think they took the Jets lightly. And like you see in most college football games, when I think they looked ahead, I honestly do. I think they were looking ahead at the Eagles. They thought they could just go into New York. Darnold was going to be rusty and they were going to be able to do their thing. And, it came back and bit them in the butt. So, speaking, well, John, while we're talking, we might as well, we got our guy. We got our favorite New York Jets. Sweet Lou, how are we?
Thank you. Yeah.
How are you? Hey, how are you?
All right. You know, I was a little surprised by that, since the Jets couldn't do anything all year, and yet they kind of beat Dallas. But they made a game of it, though, especially towards the end.
They did. I was impressed with Darnold and Lev Bell, and even that defense. The defense, the way they held Zeke and that passing game. You know, it made Dak Prescott look from a $32 million quarterback to about a $6 million quarterback.
Right.
Exactly.
So, are you staying dry up there right now?
Trying to.
You got the nor'easter going through, correct?
You heard, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I lost my gambling
for
tonight.
Yeah, cats and dogs. The Yankees game got rained out, so we got to play tomorrow. But I'm afraid this is going to screw their pitching matchups and whatnot for the rest of the series. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. I thought the Yankees, and we'll talk later on with Tyler when he comes on as well, but I feel like the Yankees had a better shot to win this game for sure, the fact that it was going to be a bullpen game.
Yeah.
I think they got the better bullpen, obviously, but the fact that that got rained out, it gave everybody rest. Now you're gonna get the three-headed monster all over again. Garrett Cole will probably be a Game 7 starter then.
Well,
so,
it's going 7 anyway.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, okay. So Astros up 2-1. So what? It's 2-1. Not like it's 3-1. Anybody can win from a 2-1 deficit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like you say you lost both road games and you won your home game. So it's just like that. So
there's not a time to panic, even though what others say, like, oh, well, you had your chance and you blew it now, and now you're in real trouble. We'll see about that.
You lose tomorrow, are you panicking?
No, because there have been teams that have come back from 3-1 as well. And, of course, the infamous down 3-0.
Well,
it's been done. So 3-1, you know, I've seen teams come back from 3-1. Where, hey, look, the Cubs blew a 3-1 lead as well, if you recall.
Yep. Absolutely. What else, Chilu?
5 outs away from going to the World Series and, like, choke.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely.
It can happen again.
Yep. What else you got?
Well, let's see. And, of course, is everybody going to start panicking now that our new Giants quarterback couldn't come through? Or is it too soon to, like, throw the
ball
out?
Too soon. Too soon. You're starting to get your players back. You got Saquon coming back. You've got Golden Tate. He just had a hell of a first game back, or second game back. They'll be fine. Giants are going to be fine.
I'm not a big fan of Golden Tate.
A lot of teams aren't. A lot of teams were not. Seattle, Notre Dame, you name them.
Especially Notre Dame. I think they're really good.
No. Certainly Shepard, but obviously he's hurt still, I think.
Yeah.
I remember seeing. So, yeah, we'll see. I think the Giants will be okay. I think you'll be happy with 6 wins, 5 or 6 wins.
If that.
I think you can get at least
a week right now.
Yeah, I was just saying Dallas kind of just wet the bed there. I thought they were looking ahead. I think they were looking ahead to the Philly game this Sunday. Which
yeah,
I didn't know NFL teams could do that and look ahead. I thought that was just college and the college kids.
No.
But no, you got Darnold back. You got your defense. Hey, I mean, you got to think you're going to beat Miami when you play them.
Yeah, you,
so,
you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you believe the Jets have been mismanaged from a coach standpoint the last 2 or 3 seasons, even with Darnold, you know what I'm saying, this being his second year, even with him being rusty, there has been some talent that's been put together on that particular Jets roster. So, but how has it been able to, like I said, has it been able to compete or smartly compete? Again, like Brandon kind of said, Jets winning five games is not out of the realm of possibilities when I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago they were probably playing for second pick in the next year's draft, you know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at that particular. They're going. Brandon, look. Can you look up real quick and see who they play next? Who just play? You know what I'm saying? It's something they can obviously
Patriots
build on.
Monday Night Football.
Something they can build on, but that's going to be a sunny when they play the Patriots. That's going to be a reality. It's going to be a reality readjuster for the Jets because you know Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are not going to overlook or you know what I'm saying. That's how Bill Belichick got his name for making quarterbacks look bad. So I would take that particular Jets win as a definite building block because now you see what you have going mm-hmm. further. We know Sam Darnold. It's not a flash in the pan as far as quarterback. Now his health is going to be his primary the concern or like you know what I'm saying how the Jets are go or you know what I'm saying they find another quarterback in this particular draft. I don't think they do, you know, but
right.
But get Jets look good. Brandon hit still on head 5 wins for sure. When I had him at 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prediction for this Sunday, for this Monday, Jets Patriots, boys. I'm going to surprise you. 27-23 Patriots. Jets almost get there. Almost get there. They always play at home. They always play well at home against the Patriots.
Yes, they do.
So why not? And if Patriots are going to get that first loss, honestly, I could see it here. If you want, I may sprinkle a little money on the money line. Because you know the odds are going to be great for it, so
yeah. The way Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they don't necessarily believe that they are 6-0. They can't. They don't necessarily think their team is good enough to. I mean, because they've been there before, right? They know what the undefeated season looks like and how to kind of come up short. So when Tom Brady kind of gave that nod, again, they are the best team that we have seen all year. You know what I'm saying? They haven't lost. And I don't care what the stats say. I don't care if Kansas City is averaging more points. I don't care if the defenses of the Chicago Bears or the defense of the Colts, for that matter, is actually statistically more ranked higher than the Patriots until you knock off the champs, who just happened to win Super Bowl last year, right, and who are actually still undefeated. I don't care how unsure they are about their team totally because they haven't necessarily played, quote-unquote, played anybody. But, you know, boys, hey, everybody in the NFL is trying to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody in the NFL is a pro. So, except for I will exclude the Miami Dolphins because they are they actually said they you know said for tanking. Everybody else is trying to win too. So for Tom Brady and them, I don't you that's their self critical mirror look in the face of their team, but don't trust it. Don't think that they're gonna come in limping in your building, or you gonna come in catching them off catching them on a break in Foxborough because it ain't gonna happen. It's not.
Right. The fact is, the game started out as an 11-point spread. Patriots, when this opened up, was at 11. It's down to 9.5 now. So you can see the people are starting to put the money on the Jets. The money line is plus 365. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on this money line for the Jets because I do think they can upset the Patriots and win this game. And if you put $50 on there, you're going to look good.
Right.
But yeah, I think 27-23. I think it's close, and I think the Patriots pulled off. Though I think Darnold, they get the ball with about 4 minutes to go, and they have a chance to take the lead on the Patriots, and then they either turn over the ball on downs around the 40, or it gets picked off, and the Patriots run out of the clock. So I think that's kind of how it's going to end up.
Uh-huh.
So, but it'll be close, and I'm pulling for the Jets. So, and I think the whole city of Indianapolis
all
is
right.
too.
Absolutely are.
So, well, and I'll go ahead and say it, Luke, with you even being on here.
Yes.
I've already claimed the Patriots have won home field advantage. So throughout the AFC.
No surprise there.
It's already done. It's a wrap. Earliest it's ever been decided.
Right. Then they decided to preseason.
Yeah. All right, Lou, what you want to end on?
Well, I wonder what you thought of the Nationals and their performance. I mean, I wasn't surprised that they won the series, but I am surprised they didn't sweep.
Yeah, I'm very shocked at the way it went. I thought the Cardinals bats just went away. They completely died until that final game, and you know, by that point, you're already down 7-0 in the first inning. And you know what I think? In my hell, Lou, it may have been they spent so much on that game, the game 5 against the Braves.
Yeah.
Where I think they were up 13-0. That it just completely went away in that game, and that was a grueling series for them.
Sure.
Not to say the Nationals, not to say the Nationals weren't in a grueling series themselves, but I think it took more out of the Cardinals with the Braves by the way it was going back and forth with them, and the Nationals, you know, they didn't take any days off with the they went straight from the regular season to the wild card, and then just kind of kept. And that's sometimes what it takes. You just keep playing baseball as much as you can.
Yes.
And so, absolutely. You want to give your plug real quick?
Yes. The Enhanced Sports Show, Saturday night, 6 to 8 p.m. That's Eastern time. The number is 712-775-7035. The PIN number is 423-999-POUND. Press the pound sign or you don't get squat.
Boom. Perfect. Thanks, Lou. We'll talk to you again, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
That was sweet Lou. Simple. The Jets. He was on cloud 9. I don't know if he liked my prediction, but I mean, don't you just see the game playing out that way? I mean, I just see that game playing out on Monday.
I got it 40-17, man. I
ooh.
Don't think it's been that close. Yeah.
Ooh.
40-17.
It's in New York, so at least they got that. All right, John. Let's go from we talked to Cowboys and Jets. How about the Chiefs? Have the Chiefs lost their mojo?
They need to get. You know, you have your uncertainties about a certain coach out of Cleveland. I have always had mine ever since he made his way to Kansas City about Andy Reid, man. The first thing he kind of said that kind of raised a red flag for me was he said we didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough possessions with the football. And I just kind of scratched my head, man. And like, dude, do you want to score 55 points? Like, dude, at some point you're going to have to try to stop the other team. I'm totally, they should be as well. As themselves as a defensive unit. The Kansas City Chiefs, man, they got to fix their defense. Patrick Mahomes can score or this particular and with this particular offense. I don't want to say it's all him because they have great tight end play and have great running back play as well. But Patrick Mahomes can literally, seemingly score on any team. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter the scheme. He's a special kind of talent, right? We all know this. But dude, defense still got to. You said somebody got to stop somebody. You can't just like have an Ole offense out there. I mean, Ole defense out there that allows. Dude, I've seen that story before, Brandon. You have too. Living in this Circle City, you've seen that, right?
Oh yeah.
Where Peyton Manning can put up. I hate, you know, saying going to the goat, but yeah, Peyton Manning puts up, you know,
the boat
30 points. Hey, whatever. Peyton Manning puts up 27-30 points, and then defense allows, you know, 31. You know, you lost the game, right? So,
yep.
Again, Patrick, Kansas City Chiefs need to figure out their defense. They're teams that it's kind of like with Brandon, like, you know, there's something like this, like teams kind of shy away from historically, kind of shy away from as far as like making trades or whatever, except for the Rams. And we kind of talk about them in a minute. But like teams kind of shy away from, you know, what I'm saying, picking pieces of other teams' players, picking parts of other teams, you know, what I'm saying, bringing them onto their unit, thinking that it won't work. I think it works. I think Jalen. I mean, I don't know if the Rams is getting their way to the Super Bowl, you know. But with Ramsey going over, man, that makes him a difference maker because he's a difference maker, and they were willing to leverage their future, whatever that might be, in the form of, you know, saying first rounders and whatnot, to get him. But
5 years.
And guess what, Brandon? So did the Texans. The Texans had some problems with protection, and what'd they do? They made a trade. They you know, what I'm saying they made some moves. And now that, you know, now their quarterback's standing upright. So, again, man, you know, I don't have the date in front of me. I know it's not going to happen because he's from the old NFL. He's not going to make a trade to try to improve the team's defense, or he's not going to make a move. He might sit somebody down and give somebody else some playing time. But, you know, this team is going to have to look at Andrew. At the end of it, man, it's going to seem like you, Brandon, you already said it. You got the Patriots already winning the AFC. Home division, anyway.
It's a wrap.
You know, home field. He gets the wrap. So how many years are we going to allow Andy Reid, if you're the ownership group of the Kansas City Chiefs, to allow Andy Reid to waste this, you know, Patty Mahomes, that dude, Brandon, right? Am I right or wrong? Were they good enough to get to the Super Bowl last year?
Absolutely.
And they didn't get there. And they didn't get there. And they were good enough to get there. So again,
I think it's also more than just their defense, John. I mean, that offensive line is injured. They're hurt. Mahomes is hurt because the offensive line can't hold up. And that's going to affect the way his running, his ability. And it's some people call it the Madden curse. So we'll see.
Man. No, I hope not. I hope that's not the case. I hope maybe, you know what I'm saying, they can get them. I know they don't really necessarily have any time to catch the breath, but I hope they can balance it out, man. That's a team that you can kind of, even, you know, I'm a Colts fan, but that's a team that you kind of root for, because they have the talent and the ability to beat or to do, you know what I'm saying, to defeat the evil empire, anybody else.
Absolutely. We talked a little bit about Jalen Ramsey getting traded for number one picks. In 2020, 2021, now the Rams don't have a first-round pick for the next 5 years. They want to win now. If that's not the definition of winning now, I don't know what is.
Yeah, you gotta, you know, like I said, historically, football guys don't do that. You know what I'm saying? They kind of build their teams through the summer, if not, through the offseason, rather, and then they don't necessarily do things on the fly. But you kind of got to, like, you know, this Jalen Ramsey is a difference maker. He is. So, you know, he'll go out there and he'll be a difference maker for him.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to happen. They got to figure out their quarterback. They got to figure out their quarterback play, though. He's too up and down now, man. San Francisco might have kind of exposed him last night. I was not expecting that at all. I'm not ready to jump on the San Francisco train. They do a lot of things that remind you of Bill, that are Belichickian. Right, they do a lot of things, but I'm not ready to just, you know, hitch my, not just yet. They can't get into a shootout with anybody. The defense got to play, but they cannot get into a shootout with anybody. Garoppolo is not great. Garoppolo, he's not. They can't get in a shootout with anybody.
John, I watched that game Monday night, and myself and 50,000, probably actually 50 million other people watched this game on TV. And the Detroit Lions got screwed at the end of that game for terrible blatant calls, John. Just absolutely pathetic that these NFL officials are pretty much going to, decide these games late and cost people millions of dollars. I'm not talking about fans or bettors or things. I'm talking players. I'm talking coaches.
Right.
You know, these losses add up. And for them to sit there and call a phantom hands to the face, and we already review so much, John. Why the hell can't we review that under the last 2 minutes? Why can't we? Let's get it right.
That's good how you said that in the last 2 minutes, because you open up that Pandora's box, man, then the game goes from 3 hours to like nine. You know what I mean? That was pretty egregious. Like I would, like everybody says, everybody always goes back to the New Orleans game, and that, I don't know, that was sort of egregious, and it's kind of bang bang at the same time. But that was pretty. The Detroit game was pretty. Detroit and Green Bay was pretty egregious. And like players came out this past week and saying, "Hey, wild field goals out of Detroit." When I know whenever you can get points, you take the points. So don't say that you're going to punch it in, because you take whenever you get points, whenever you get in the red zone, if a team stops you on fourth and one or fourth and whatever, and you know what I'm saying, you don't necessarily go for it. You know, so I don't necessarily believe in that. Get the points however you can, right?
But that's what you say, not me. I had Detroit plus 3.5, so I'm very glad that he fell to the ground.
But like I said, what's wacky, man? Now I kind of seem, because Green Bay, from a fan standpoint, right? It seems that because the world loves Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay Packers are one of the top, probably top five franchises from a merchant and marketing standpoint. You know what I'm saying? It kind of seems like this guy more than just home cooking going on here, right? I don't think it's anything like a Tim Donaghy situation when somebody's on the pay to decide games or anything like that. I think remember the eye blinks. That's the only thing I can come up with, man. The eye blinks, and somebody saw something that they didn't actually see. But other than maybe termination, where they set up, I don't necessarily know the rules on how NFL grades their referees. But other than like termination, or I don't think those guys should referee another game. That particular crew, I don't think they should referee another game the rest of this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at they changed the rules for pass interference, and now the officials are so nervous to overturn it. Like, I saw a thing where it's 1 for 37 or so on challenges for pass interference this season. 1 for 37. I guess I don't know. I thought the rule would help, but obviously it's not, because the referees are too scared to overturn it. And I mean, the game is either, as we always say, that there's holding on every play. It's just a matter of how much you're going to let it go and how much you're going to call it. So what makes you decide to call it in 2 minutes to go versus 7 minutes to go? Hands to the face is another thing, you know, calling that in the end zone. A blatant hook where the defender is with the wide receiver and he's got that right hand pretty much ripping at the guy, the wide receiver's back, and batting it with his left hand right in the front of the official, and it's still not getting called. I don't know. It's, you know, I put on Twitter and people started joking around and said, can we get the replacements back? Bring out the replacement refs. And that was all a joke.
Right.
But we got to get it right. And I don't care if we miss it during the game itself. I don't care if we miss it. Things happen. But damn it, in the final 2 minutes, we have to get everything 100% accurate, because there is so much riding on this, whether it be for the players, the coaches, the owners, the fans, everybody has so much riding on this. We have to get it 100%.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I don't know if they need to be retrained. I don't know if the farm system or how NFL referees kind of come up through a system. I think all those things are kind of the answer. Because you know what buzzed me, Brandon, the most is that everybody says the referee Orlovsky went on fucking tire. So oh, man, I didn't mean to say F bomb, Brandon. Sorry, I know you're cool with it, but I didn't mean to. But it made me upset, man, because he went off on a tirade about how bad it was, and you were kind of, I mean, not that you didn't go on tirade at all, but he kind of went on tirade, but like nobody says how to fix it. So we got to find about, we got, if you notice a problem, right, you have to offer up solutions. Like I said, other than, you know what I'm saying, as if we're all in this, right, and fans and players too, right, we're all in this. So somebody, we have to figure out a solution to kind of curb these egregious of plays. Maybe a 2 minute, maybe like you said, maybe, you know what I'm saying, reviewable plays in 2 minutes. At the end of the game, that might be an avenue that they should look into.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I feel like every week we talk about it, so it just came up, and yeah, so we'll see. Real quick, the Marcus Mariota era is officially over in Tennessee.
Did he get cut?
No, but they've turned the reins over to Ryan Tannehill. I think that kind of, unless Tannehill gets hurt. I don't see him coming back out on the football field. So, Colts fans, Ryan Tannehill is in your division. I think I would sleep comfortably tonight.
They probably will.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to save a couple talks we have. I've got the Colts, Texans. I want to save. We can give a little bit of a preview, because that is pretty much de facto AFC South championship on the line. Already, yep. I'm ready to call that. And then also, we can do this one real quick while we wait for Tyler and everything. But the Steelers, okay. Steelers, Sunday Night Football, knocking off the Chiefs. Duck Hodges, third string quarterback. You know, I put Steelers money line, sprinkled some of that. Absolutely.
Right.
Dominated. That defense looked like the old steel curtain, John. I was so impressed. I was happy with Duck Hodges. Devlin, he played so well. He played control. Quickly, your thoughts on that game. And it's the same old San Diego. The same old Chargers is what I thought. What was your thoughts on it?
Same old Chargers, man. I don't know. Again, they've got a lot to answer for, man, because they don't have these problems. You know what I'm saying? You're down to your third-string quarterback. You're down to, you know what I'm saying, we're basically kind of like a new team, and they're down to a veteran-led team that's probably just should have been thinking, let's go to the playoffs and at least try to get to the AFC Championship game one more, you know what I'm saying, one more time, flirt around with it, right? That's not the case. That clearly didn't happen, man. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what I'm saying, win again. Because I ain't no hater. I ain't no necessarily fan of their class organization. They know what they're doing. Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing.
Well, you call the man his right name.
I said that. I did that on purpose. Because he ain't going to be there next year anyway.
This man has won a Super Bowl. Let's have a little respect for Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin's not going to be there. I did it on purpose. I know you did. Mike Tomlin, probably one of his better games as coach, probably one of the better games, you know what I'm saying, that the Pittsburgh Steelers played in an era, well, not played like without having their star player, you know what I'm saying, available, I would say. You kind of got to tip your hat to a team that's prepared like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the defense clearly stepped up. Devin Bush, the rookie linebacker they just traded up for, interception for a touchdown, a fumble. The guy, he did it all. T.J. Watt. This defense is sneaky good. Now, the quarterbacks for my Steelers, they suck. They're not good, besides Joe Hayden and Mike Hilton. Those are the only two. Now, they got Minkah Fitzpatrick. He'll help out, which is good. But when you got, and only the Steelers fans really know this, but when you got Artie Burns back there, a former 2016 first-round pick, that guy has no idea how to play defense. Doesn't even probably know what letter it starts with because he's that far out of tune from the defensive side of the ball. But all-around great game. Now we go into a bye week this week, so it's time for them to get right. Mason Rudolph is back. But, John, I don't know if I want to go to Mason right now. Keep Duck in there. Let's just see what he's got.
See what he's got?
Why not? What else you have to lose? I mean, you're still in it. Your Cleveland Browns are, your Brownies are in trouble.
They ain't none of my Browns, man. They're going to continue to have an up and down season, man, because they're again, poorly coached, as somebody on this phone call podcast pointed out. They are poorly coached, and they are emotionally – They're mostly tied to what the media says, what the media says bothers them. It affects their play on the field.
Yep. Okay. Well, we won't leave our guests waiting anymore. Once again, third time now, we've got the Indianapolis Recorder's Tyler Fenwick joining us. Tyler, how are you? How's your week been?
My week's been all right. I turned the heat on tonight because it's just it's too cold, but. And I just want to say really quick, you were mentioning Devin Bush. You were welcome. A great Michigan product.
Oh, yeah. He was. Absolutely. You know, at least they get it right on one side of the ball up there.
In Michigan, too, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Devin Bush, wrecking ball, love it. Tyler, let's start off the Major League Baseball playoffs postseason since we last talked. It started. Divisional series are over. We actually got one of the championship series is over now. We'll have you dive right into it. First, let's talk to the Washington Nationals. Could you see them doing a four-game sweep of the Cardinals before this series started?
No. I mean, there were plenty of people who didn't see the Nationals getting to the league championship series. So this, I mean, easily the surprise of the postseason, right? I mean, got that exciting wild card win over the Brewers, and then took down the Dodgers and swept the Cardinals. It's just been like, I mean, it's insane to look at what they've done in this postseason. considering before this year they had never won a postseason. What am I looking for? They'd never
right.
Won a series. That's what I'm looking for. That was embarrassing, but it's just so crazy to think that they've come this far in this short of time.
Yeah, and you get rid of your best player the offseason before.
Oh my gosh, what is Bryce Harper thinking right now? I'm serious.
You know, somebody... I put that on Twitter, and I had 17 people respond back with his thoughts. He's rich.
So that's what I was thinking about. Like, money will maybe help the heartache, but it doesn't solve your problems. And I'm thinking he was looking back at that decision to go to the Phillies, and you know, there's got to be like a little bit of regret there. Because he knows he's missing out on a winning team, a team that's like playing for something right now. And anybody who's competitive, you know, no matter what the dollar signs say, anybody who's competitive wants to be a part of that.
Yeah. If you remember back when his introductory press conference, I think he didn't he say that he can't wait to bring a title back to D.C. or bring a title to D.C. and then he realized that he said the wrong team?
Oh, which is something I totally forgot about until today when I saw it brought up on Twitter again.
So it's maybe he was a Nostradamus. So, John, I'm gonna pull you into this, John. What was your? Yeah, I know you've been watching. Well, I don't know if I want to say watching. You've been listening, like old school baseball.
Yeah, I listen to baseball on the radio, man. You know, shout out to the Montreal Expos. I think the Montreal Expos actually played in the World Series or a championship game, but the Nationals have never. But yeah, man, you know, the Nationals finally get to the World Series. It seems like the locker room, the pitching staff just kind of like had like a come to Jesus moment, or look, it's everybody looking in the mirror because statistically they weren't a great pitching staff all year as a unit. I don't have necessarily had the numbers in front of me. But for them to kind of like just take everybody out of and take St. Louis' bats away when St. Louis was probably like the hottest team coming in from a hitting standpoint, except for maybe the Dodgers. I could be wrong, but it's not necessarily you know Brandon Tyler. It's not necessarily something because Nationals don't have a great history here in the States, obviously with them, you know, like, as I alluded to, they used to be the Montreal, they used to be the Expos, I do believe, right? Or were they the Blue Jays? No, they were the Montreal.
No, they were the Expos.
I'm tripping. Anyway, I get my Canadian teams mixed up all the time anyway. I still say the Vancouver Grizzlies, shame on me, right? But no, man, they don't. When the Cubs finally went to the World Series, like that was everybody and their mother passed out, right? Everybody was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe it!" You know, so we finally got to it. When the Nationals are kind of, it's not 100 years that they have never been, but it's just been some. They've never been. So I know from the in that particular area, I know they're ecstatic. I believe the Washington Mists just won a championship, and we all know what the Redskins are. Or have been last couple seasons. This season, hell, they just fired a coach last week. But it's something that I don't think, from a no pun intended, national standpoint, hasn't hit everybody just yet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's still kind of geeked about the Houston and then Yankee series. They're intrigued by it, obviously, because they're still playing. And you know, this series, I don't know, man. They haven't given the Nationals their just due just yet. That's how I kind of assess it.
Okay. Okay. By the way, I just found out last night on Facebook, I went to school with a girl at college at Ball State. She's married to a Washington Nationals pitcher, that's a relief pitcher. That blew my mind. I started saying, like, what's all this national stuff on my timeline? And I'm like, that makes perfect sense now. So I'm cheering for the Nationals. So
I
like to see
it. That's how you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's flip side. We got the ALCS, Yankees, Astros, kind of what we thought was going to happen, but it wasn't the easiest route for the Astros. Had to go to a pivotal game five with the Rays before going into this. What's your thoughts so far on this series with the Astros and Yanks?
It's I think we're like getting a little distracted, like the baseball world, by the Nationals, because remember going into this thing, it was almost like the Yankees and Astros are playing for the World Series. Like, you know, whoever comes out of the AL is probably going to beat whoever comes out of the NL. And this was the series that everybody was looking forward to, Yankees Astros. And so I'm not surprised that the Astros have gone up 2-1. And I do think that they'll ultimately win over the Yankees. I don't think the Yankees have enough pitching to get them through a string of games here to come back. But I'm not like a full believer anymore that the Astros are going to be able to go into the World Series and beat the Nationals, not only because of the way the Nationals have looked, but because like I just haven't been as impressed with the Astros as I was anticipating. So it doesn't really matter like who's on the other side coming out of the NL. I would not be totally sold on the Astros right now, even though I do think that they're going to be good enough to beat the Yankees and ultimately go on to the World Series.
Gotcha. Obviously, Game 4 was rained out tonight. The Nor'easter going on up there. You know, this was supposed to be a bullpen game where both bullpens and we're going to go the whole game. And I thought personally that was going to favor the Yankees. I think the Yankees bullpen's a heck of a lot better than the Astros. But the fact that now it's got moved back another date, I think the pendulum swings back to Houston. You're going to have your three-headed monster to face again with Greinke, Verlander, and Garrett Cole, probably in Game 7. So your thoughts on the postponement and kind of who you feel that the pendulum swings towards?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think this does favor the Astros. The Yankees, you know, we went into this postseason knowing that they didn't have the greatest pitching staff, weren't fully healthy. They were going to piece some things together, which they've done well enough so far. I mean, I wouldn't say that pitching has been a failure for the Yankees this postseason. I just don't think it's going to be enough against the Astros, against that offense, to move on. I don't see where they're going to be able to find enough things to go right all in a row for this to work out, which is unfortunate for the Yankees because up to this point it kind of has worked out. But I'm not seeing how they're going to string it all together in these, you know, next few games to try to come back down 2-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely agree. John, your thoughts on Astros-Yankees?
I have a question. So it sounds like, because, you know, both of you, I yield my, you know what I'm saying, my sword to you guys when it comes to baseball, all things baseball. So it sounds like you guys think the Nationals are the most complete team right now between the last three teams that we have, between Houston, New York, and Nationals. They're the most complete team, right? Would everybody agree with that statement?
I think I'm there.
I'm getting there.
So with that being said, wouldn't it be better if they were kind of like had let the series kind of go a little bit longer? Like, now they kind of, what's the days? There's going to be a matter of, everybody thinks that at least the Houston series is going to go at least six games, right? So wouldn't it be, are they going to, well, basically I'm trying to say, are they going to get cold, you know what I'm saying, being on the sidelines? Or do we really use this time as a rest up? Because they kind of, like I said, they kind of got hot here in the last couple of weeks. Nobody expected them to be in this position at all.
I think the huge advantage, the thing that outweighs any kind of negative that would come from I think it'll be like a 6-day break for them. But the big advantage is that the whole rotation is like reset now. You can come into this totally fresh with your pitching staff. And so, you know, if you are worried about getting cold, I presume, you know, most people worried about that would be thinking about the offense. And that's legitimate, you know, I'm sure. You know, you don't play for 6 days. I mean, there's going to be some effect. I just think getting your rotation, your bullpen, totally ready to go for, you know, the most pivotal series of anybody's life up to this point, that's an advantage that outweighs those other things.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah, I think you may, John. I think if they come in cold, yeah, you lose game one, but I don't think that hurts them at all. I think they can easily still win this 4-1 or maybe 4-2 even. So, but I'll be really curious to see with this series as well with Houston and the Yankees. John, you talk about the freshness of Washington, but how much is this series going to take out of Houston and New York, you know, as it comes to if it goes seven games? I mean, you're going to be starting, what, two days later? You know, these arms are going to be getting thrown a lot. A lot of people's going to be throwing. So, who knows? So,
you're right.
Tyler, thoughts on today? It was breaking news on ESPN and The Athletic reported Joe Maddon signed a 3-year deal with the Angels. He's back coaching the Angels again. There was an old time where he coached with Tim Salmon, was one of the best players on the team. Back to him, I think it's him and Jimmy Edmonds. So thoughts on Maddon with the Angels now?
Good for him. I mean, who wouldn't want to move from Chicago to L.A.? That's a fantastic move for him, just personally, like getting out to the West Coast. The Angels, yeah, I was looking this up. They haven't won 100 games since 2008, haven't been to the postseason since 2014. They got swept there in the divisional series, I believe. Obviously, he's walking into a really tough situation, even with, you know, the best player in baseball and a standout young star in Shohei Ohtani. But, I guess, like, if you're the Angels, I'm thinking you probably like this move because of what Joe Maddon was able to accomplish with the Cubs. But also understanding that, you know, there isn't one move that's going to get things on the right track. This is probably, or it needs to be, part of a more of a long haul process for the Angels to become relevant beyond Mike Trout again.
Yep. Absolutely. Looking at Chicago, the counterpart, it's been talked now that they're bringing in Gabe Kapler as well for an interview, which I wanted to throw up in my mouth when I heard that, because he had all that talent in Philadelphia this past season, and you see what they did. They didn't even make the postseason. Why would you bring in Kapler? I think you hire Girardi or the bench coach for the Astros, and there's your guy.
I guess I don't have an answer. I don't know. Like, I can't say for sure what Cubs front office is thinking. I guess, you know, there was that talent. Like you said, things didn't work out this season. Maybe you just don't let that get to your head. If you're, you know, in a position to make decisions here for the Cubs and you think, you know, we're just going to go after who we feel like is the best guy. And maybe that's what they're doing, all things aside. I don't know.
I think the Cubs are, you know, I think they're not set on Girardi or anybody else. I don't think they're really set on them. I think they're waiting for the Astros series to end so they can do their interview. And if they feel like the bench coach then is good enough for the position and all that, they'll hire him. If not, then they can go back to one of their guys. But I don't think they're 100% set on the guys that they're talking about now, or else we would have seen a hiring by now, I feel.
No, I think you're right. I think you're definitely right about, you know, waiting for the Astros to finish up. Whenever that happens, then you can really get moving on some things. But yeah, it does seem like there's some uncertainty maybe with the Cubs and like what direction they want to go. I think they are like in a pretty tough spot because it's not like they were a terrible team that's looking to get something going again. Like they're looking for somebody to hit the ground running, get this team back into the postseason right away. So that is a little bit of a different situation. And I guess, you know, maybe it calls for a little bit of a different approach.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on how long, if you're a Boston Red Sox fan, how long do you feel that is your next wait for the postseason or even another World Series? Because obviously they're gutting the entire organization pretty much of everything.
So how long are you patient, basically?
Yes.
It's so hard to put myself in the mindset of a Red Sox fan. because I have my Midwest answer, you know, which is probably much more lenient than I think a Red Sox fan would say. My arbitrary benchmark, I guess, you know, let's talk about like getting back to the ALCS. Let's talk about getting past the Yankees. You know, 2 years, 3 years. I think people who are looking at this thinking something needs to happen immediately are ahead of themselves, and they're not giving us the proper time. I do understand that sense of urgency. I get it. It's just not something I can relate to at all. You know, and I don't know if any of us could relate to that at all, because we just don't have that mindset here in the Midwest, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's switch topics to college football. Tyler, are you having a happy week? Are you having a happy week pretty much? I'm going to ask that first.
I guess it's as happy as it could be, considering because, what I know you're going to talk about next.
Because, John, I don't know if the Wolverines are going to have it in Happy Valley. They're going to go into Penn State this weekend. Probably one of the premier matchups this week. Michigan, Penn State. Is it a night game or a day game?
It's a night game. It's a whiteout.
Oh, boy. Oh boy.
Yeah. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan has never won as an underdog and never won against the top 15 team, I want to say, on the road. So this would kill two birds with one stone, as they say.
Yeah, sports gamblers, take that, put that note in your tickler file, because you're going to need that when you bet this weekend. Yeah, I'm excited for this game. Because, you know, the thing with Penn State, I'm not too impressed with them, though. I mean, they could have easily blown out Purdue, and they didn't. They struggled. To me, they felt like they struggled at times. They threw interceptions, and I don't trust the quarterback. So I think it's kind of an even matchup, honestly. And surprisingly, I'm probably going to Penn State in a close game.
See, I agree with you. I think Penn State's going to win. As I was looking at it more, outside of Iowa, which is a good win, you know, on the road, Iowa had one touchdown at the very end. Like, Penn State played amazing on defense and did enough on offense. But outside of that, I mean, they had that, I think it was a 17-10 win against Pitt. And that's the next best win of the year, I would say. And so there just isn't a whole lot on the season to look at and be like, dang, you know, that's a really impressive team. Because they've run up the score on a couple teams, including Maryland, who they shut out. And we know their defense is legit at this point. We know that. And we knew that coming into the season. The offense has surprised some people. But, I mean, like I said, the quality of competition hasn't been to the point where I'm, like, really sold on Penn State. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not even going to say that they're overrated necessarily. I just think there's still enough of a gap there in our knowledge to be like, yeah, you know, Michigan wouldn't be a total shocker if they went in and won in Happy Valley.
Okay. Well, I mean, they had a good win last week against Illinois. That was closer than I thought. They gave up, what, 29 points, I think?
Yeah, I think it was a 25, I think, unanswered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was...
Go ahead,
John. No, what were you saying?
No, they put up 42, man. Just to chime in, I kind of like Michigan to win this game, kind of to some of the reasons both of you kind of
do.
Who is Penn State played? Who is Penn State played? They're a good. I won't say great. They are a good Big Ten team. This kind of like, you know, leaned on their 6-0 Big Ten status. But who have they really played outside of Iowa? So again, this would be a good litmus test for them as well. But I don't necessarily have him lose another game to Ohio State.
You have them beat Notre Dame. You have them beat Notre Dame.
I think they get it done. But that,
goodness, you're drinking too much of that Kool-Aid up there. Too much of that Michigan Kool-Aid.
I think they get done, but we'll see. But as far as this weekend's matchup is concerned between Penn State and Michigan, I got Michigan.
Denard Robinson is not walking through that door anytime soon. So just going to throw that out there. gentlemen, it was kind of a wacky weekend in college football. A lot of the big teams took a tumble. Georgia took a big stumble. What's the other? Who's the other one that took a stumble? I'm drawing a blank. There was another one.
I'm drawing a blank too.
This is great radio.
Florida lost to LSU. LSU. Wouldn't necessarily stumble. Florida lost. We're putting another clip in LSU's. You know what I'm saying? Chamber or whatever. But LSU now automatically vaults to everybody's favorite to, you know, saying slay the dragon that is Alabama, because they like I think they jumped up from like three or four spots. I still think my personal self. I mean, they call the homer, the Midwest homer in me. I still think Ohio State's the better team.
Ohio State's the best team in the country
to compete. You know what I'm saying, for the national championship.
Sorry, Tyler.
You know, guys. This has got to be. I know. There's a lot of people that they're naysayers with Clemson, and I think they'll go through their season. They'll figure their quarterback play out. But those are the top four teams. I think they got it right. I just don't necessarily think LSU is going to be the team that beats Alabama. I know they have a great. They got a great resume. They just beat Florida. They beat Texas, I think, about 3 weeks ago. They're undefeated. They play in the SEC play. There's really technically no other team in the SEC play that can beat them. Texas A&M is a fraud. I was texting Brandon over the past weekend. Texas A&M is a fraud. Jimbo Fisher, they need to get their money back. Or they need to send it back to Florida State. They do. Like, they need to get their money back. Like, you know, they thought they was going to bring that Florida mojo over to Texas, and it hasn't happened. And he's probably lucky that he didn't take a job in the Big 12 with Texas, because like he'd probably be on the very hot seat today. But I think this is probably the most competitive I've ever seen it. Where, you know, could I see LSU winning the national championship if they can get past Alabama in their conference? Yeah, I could, but I'm not ready to say LSU is ready to beat Alabama, not just yet. There's a lot of. And you know, and I know I'm going backwards and forwards and ups and down. So yeah, I have to apologize. But you know, say I do nothing but on Saturday but watch college football. There's going to be the Sooners, the Oklahoma Sooners. There's somebody they're going to have to say in all of this, because they had a doozy with Texas, and I thought that game Texas kind of played from behind seemingly all throughout the game, and they still kind of made it interesting at the end. But you know, Oklahoma has the type of offense that. They can compete with Alabama, with LSU, with Clemson, with Ohio State. Again, I don't think they have a complete team to compete without Ohio State and Alabama. But again, this is going to be. And you know what, Brandon and Tyler, I would be ashamed. I'd get in trouble if I didn't miss Wisconsin. Now, I don't think Wisconsin has the athletes in the safety and on defensive end, right? The safeties and cornerbacks to compete with Alabama or Clemson or LSU for that matter. But I think Wisconsin does have a great offensive line and obviously a great running back. But so again, in order for them to get in the top four, like a lot of teams, Ohio State's got to lose, and you know what I'm saying, a lot of other madness has to happen. But again, very high, very highly competitive, and I can't wait till all this kind of shakes out. But I do think Ohio State is the best team in the United States.
Well, you do get Ohio State, Wisconsin next weekend. And that should teach us a lot about both of those teams. I think they're both top four teams. I'm fine with Ohio State and LSU 1 and 2. I don't have a preference. I think you could make a good case for either of them. But then we got to wait a little longer for LSU Bama. That's not until November 9th. And I think LSU has to play Auburn in between then. So, you know, hopefully that's still like a top four matchup or whatever. But, at least next weekend, you know, Ohio State, Wisconsin will be like the marquee game.
I agree with that. I think we're definitely going to see a lot with that. Guys, my Heisman candidate, I mean, my leading guy for Heisman, all he has to do is win one more game, and that's Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow can knock off Alabama, I don't care what he's won. If he knocks off Alabama, he's my Heisman guy.
That would be the strongest case any candidate could make, you know, knocking off Alabama. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right.
Yeah. So, you know who's took a downside? And, you know, we talk about players all the time, whether it be NBA or NFL, going back another year or going pro and stuff. Justin Herbert, he's had a horrible, I mean, not horrible, but he's had a very down year from where he was selected to be this year. And you got to believe that's going to definitely hurt his draft stock when it comes this next April.
Yeah, Cardale Jones was just on Twitter. I can't remember a former player kind of didn't call him out, just brought light to the fact that he was projected to be that higher draft pick, went back to school, and Cardale got on Twitter and said, you know, actually, I went back to finish my degree. And so, you know, if football you feel like it's your future and that's how you're going to make your money, that's how you're going to make your living, it's a different situation. But yeah, you're right. It's for any player in that situation, it's a really tough decision to make, I'm sure, because you're weighing your immediate future versus your more long-term future. And, you know, what gets the upper hand, I guess it for me, it would change like by the day. I would be terrible at making that decision. So I'm not envious of anybody who does.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys. We've got a caller real quick. We'll take him on real quick. Fred from Noblesville, how are you? What do you want to talk about?
I'm doing well. So I am in Noblesville currently, but I was born and raised in Pontiac, Michigan. And so, you know, I was indoctrinated to be a Detroit Lions fan. And wow, this week we've had some tough times, we'll say, throughout our franchise's history and through my lifetime. But for whatever reason, after Monday night, like, this one hurts probably the most. Like, it's been a rough one. I'm still not over it.
Yeah, that was a rough game the other night. I'm actually shocked that you said that one was probably the roughest, because you know, I've got a buddy of mine who's a big Lions fan as well. And he reminded me, I said, that's got to be tough on you. He said, Brandon, that game where Aaron Rodgers threw that Hail Mary from about 60 yards out, that was a tough one. But yeah, that one, at least the Lions, you lost and it was on your own. There was no X factor like the referees for this one, and how kind of blatant it was that we were talking about earlier. Tyler, what were your thoughts on the way that game was officiated?
So I did not watch the game, but as a Michigan fan, obviously a lot of the people I follow on Twitter, you know, friends with on Facebook, they're big Lions fans. And Lions fans, in my mind, are they're notorious for thinking that the league and the refs and the system are out to get them. But there was such a legitimate case this time. I went back and, like, watched those slow motion replays, and I guess, you know, you make those calls in real time. It's hard for me to sit here and be very judgmental of that. But, yeah, like, pretty much robbed in broad daylight in a way that makes it really hard for people like me to be like, oh, here go the Lions fans again, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Fred, I got a question, man. So, what, from a fan standpoint, and I want you to keep your thought, from a fan standpoint, I know, you know what I'm saying, what would you like to see to happen? Should the NFL fine referees? Should they automatically fire them, you know what I'm saying, for egregiousness? You know what I'm saying, call bad calls? What would be a solution?
I mean, there has to be accountability. I think there's accountability for players. There's accountability for coaches. Like, you know, a coach storms a ref, or, you know, a coach does something he's not supposed to, they get held accountable. And they also face the media, too. You know, they shove a camera in someone's face after they just lost a Super Bowl. How do you feel? Well, how do you think? You know, so they have to approach the media. The refs get a handpicked person that just talks to them, and then they go on a private jet and they go home. So there's no accountability on their end. And I'm sure the NFL will send us that cool letter that says, hey, we screwed up again. Sorry. You know, and how's that supposed to make us feel? You know, I also take umbrage to the fact that people have a perception of Lions fans as like whiners. Because if you are a Detroit Lions fan, and I hate to be all ethnocentric on everybody, but if you're a true Detroit Lions fan, supporter year in and year out, you're not doing the SOL, same old Lions on your Facebook feed to people and being a super, you know, pessimistic person. If you really, truly root for them, the one playoff win in 62 years, it's not even comparable to any other team at all. So right. It's hard to put yourself in a perspective to say, oh, they're being this way. Until you put a Honolulu Blue anything on and deal with it year in and year out, the blunders, and a lot of them are their own fault for shooting themselves in the foot. So it's not just this ref gate thing where the accountability is just on the refs, but if we're going to hold refs accountable, they should be fine, just like players, just like coaches. And maybe they'll think twice about throwing a flag on a dude that's doing a football play that you're taught in Pee Wee League. You know, that's just my take on it. I'm open to hear people's takes, but it's kind of one of those situations where it's such a loser mentality to blame the refs, and I don't like having that attitude. But, I mean, the Arian Foster elbow on the
–
the Thanksgiving game against the Thanksgiving game against the Texans, the pass interference that didn't get called against the Cowboys, the Seattle Megatron fumble that got swatted out, the Megatron touchdown in Chicago that he didn't, you know, complete the process, the Hail Mary against Green Bay, that phantom face mask that happened before. It goes on and on and on, and there's no accountability. And it happens to other teams. But it just seems like, especially on a national scale like this, it's just so bizarre, and nothing ever changes or happens. But it's a two-sided thing, because you got to hold them, you got to hold the team accountable too to, you know, get in the red zone and put it in the end zone. But
right,
I mean, it is what it is. I don't really know. Like, I'm so mixed with emotions this week. It's like,
oh yeah.
Even if a referee gets fined, the Lions are still in dead last on the NFC North when they shouldn't be. Yeah. You know,
it's the toughest division.
So
it's toughest
just,
division in football.
Brandon and Tyler, I want to keep Tyler on for a little bit. Like one more question with Fred. Fred, I kind of know Fred from his voice. Fred, your thoughts on Michigan going into this weekend? Because I know Fred's a Michigan fan.
Oh, boy. The last time Michigan went to Happy Valley, there was this dude by the name of Saquon Barkley. and my buddy I grew up with, we were watching the Lions game together on Monday, and we were both laughing about it because they were kicking the crap out of us that game. But it was one of those games where, like how Clowney played when they were in the bowl game against Michigan, and he's just murdering people. It's like, it sucks, and you're losing, but you're looking at this, like, once-in-a-lifetime talent going, wow, like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to say about it? They're so inconsistent this year. It's so hard to make a prediction. I think Penn State's a solid football team. Michigan is not. So if I'm a betting man, sadly, I don't think I bet for the maize and blue in it, but they're so inconsistent, anything can happen. But man, that crowd is insane, and it's a rough environment to play in. So I'm hoping for the best. I'm trying to be optimistic about this season. I'm trying to hope for Shea Patterson to kind of figure himself out, because that's all we've ever said as a Michigan fan is, oh, we just need an SEC quarterback. Well, we got one. Kind of wait to see some offerings from one. So it's just one of those things. I hope they do well. And for the rest of the year, just, I don't know. They don't have an identity, really. I don't know how to peg them, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I got you. Okay. Fred, if you can stay on for like two more seconds, man, I appreciate it. Tyler.
Yeah, no problem.
Tyler, I know we got to let you go. What are you working on with the Indianapolis Recorder coming up? What can we expect to read?
So next week, starting this week, we're kind of co-hosting a bunch of stuff, like a Black Agenda forum on Friday for the mayoral candidates. I can never say that word. The people running for mayor in Indianapolis.
Right.
And then
okay.
Monday night, we're co-hosting a debate. And so, I mean, that'll all be really good, informative stuff, hopefully. And then we'll, you know, we'll have the recaps and the analysis in the paper next week.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Perfect.
Well, Tyler, it's always a pleasure to have you on, whether we're talking Major League Baseball or we're talking college football. Tyler, do you know anything about hoops?
About hoops? Oh, my gosh. Give me back when the college season comes around.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're not letting you go. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be talking more baseball coming in the upcoming weeks or so. So, but yeah. Okay. We'll definitely pick your brain when it comes to baseball. Brandon, you got anything else?
I think that's all I've got with you, Tyler. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy baseball.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
All right. That was Tyler Fenwick of the Indianapolis Recorder joining us once again, as always, with his takes. Fred, my man, I still got you on, and I can feel the pain through my headset with your Detroit love. And as I was telling Jonathan, we were kind of talking a little bit about the Detroit game, the start of show off. I said the referees, I have found out, yeah, it doesn't count because of wins and losses. It costs people jobs. It costs people money, whether it be fans, players, coaches, whatnot, and owners. But the officials, I mean, yeah, they get on a private jet and go home. But also, I mean, they get graded each game on a scale. I think it's like a 1-4 scale or 1-5 scale. And so many notches that you get when your film is reviewed during the week. I found this out. I looked online. You get certain points taken off for things. And that all adds up to decide, hey, is this guy good enough for a wild card game? Is this guy, you know, and honestly, I hate to see it, but the referee crew for that game, they rank them A, B, C, or D. That was actually a C crew. So,
it's not just with the Lions. It's not an affliction with just the Lions. I have two of my closest friends live in New Orleans, born and raised East Side. And they got screwed. Saints should be Super Bowl champs. I know if ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk, but the Saints were the best team, and they should have won the Super Bowl. They would have waxed the Patriots. That was a bogus, bogus display. And that, I mean, this was a regular season game. That was to go to the Super Bowl last year. So it's kind of an epidemic at this point. It's not just a Lions problem. It's a league problem. And I'd hate for another franchise or another team or someone that's vying for something other than a regular season game or a rivalry game. When you're trying to go to the Super Bowl and you're dealing with that kind of garbage, I mean, I don't know. It's just outrageous.
Hey, with myself being a Steeler fan, I would be remiss if I did not bring up the botched coin flip against the Detroit Lions at Thanksgiving that screwed us out of that game. Okay, so you got one right.
Oh, man, I remember that one. Wow.
So you did get one. You're maybe one for 30, but you did get the one.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. The odds are in our favor, apparently.
That's right. Anything else you got, Fred?
You guys were talking about hoops. Have you talked about this NBA season coming up yet?
Not yet. I think on one of the – we're going to have a NBA special and college hoops special show coming up here in a couple weeks, I think. I know the NBA is getting ready to start here. I think – was it next week, John?
Yeah, tip-off,
Yeah.
So,
Fred, I know, Tuesday. Hey, Fred, don't be shy. You're a wrestling fan. I kind of told Brandon a little bit about you, man, as we've been talking.
Oh,
I know
cool,
you're a
okay.
fan. What do you? We talk a little bit. We talk a little sports entertainment around here as well. What are your thoughts on the last 2 weeks of AEW?
I know I'm going to sound like a total slappy, and I promise I'm not looking through things with rose-colored glasses. But the shows have been incredible. Like, it's been everything I would hope it would be. A true alternative. I think that, like, NWA Power right now, if you go to NWA's YouTube page, I don't know if you've seen it yet, Bird, but,
a
whole retro, like, even the theme song is, like, docking. It's, like, 80s hair metal and, like, the set. is all old school, and even the promos they cut are old school. They do commercials,
right.
like fake commercials, like waffles and tire irons. It's incredible. So there's like, even beyond AEW, there's like really cool new alternatives. But I mean, I attended All In, and then I attended All Out, both pay-per-views at the Sears Center and outside of Chicago, Illinois. And I've never been at a wrestling show like that. And I've been to WrestleManias, I've been to pay-per-views, I've been to so many different shows, Raws and SmackDowns and NXT and everything. I've never been in an environment that had that kind of energy, because I think it's just people that are just tired of the cartoon wrestling, you know, the Nickelodeon wrestling with WWE, and they just want something different. And so you have like 11,000 people in an arena, and they're all just rabid and hungry and like, yeah, we're going to see wrestling. Like, we're not going to see, you know, Sally Jesse Raphael, if I can date myself with the 90s show reference.
Yeah.
They're not seeing like talk show Nickelodeon wrestling. Like, it's actual wrestling and not just talking.
So, Fred, do you still follow WWE?
No. My final straw was the WrestleMania in New Orleans. I attended, and we went to Progress that week, both shows ringside. We went to Joey Janela's Spring Break. We went to Supercard of Honor, that crazy ladder match.
Yep.
We attended all that, and we went to Mania, and like, I brought a deck of Uno cards just as a rib, like just as a joke, like, well, if the matches suck, let's just play Uno. And we did, and like, it was so funny because there was a whole like group from Japan that flew over, presumably to see Shinsuke Nakamura. They kind of talked about they came to see him, and that match was horrible compared to like their Wrestle Kingdom match. And like, the heel turn was weird, and like, Balor didn't come out as the Demon, and it just, everything was just off about that Mania. And I'll never forget when Nakamura went heel, I got mad, and I'm like, dude, I need to get out of here, this is horrible. And I went to the restroom and went to go get like a drink or something, and this dad came out with his kid, and he's like, man, Braun Strowman has a little kid winning the belt with him right now. And I'm like, what? Like, I had no idea what was going on. I'm out like sulking in the concourse area. I'm like, this show sucks, man. What a letdown. And this guy comes out, man, they got Braun Strowman winning the belt with a damn kid. And I peeked in, and like, the New Day is coming out. And like, it was so just bizarre. And then like, by the time the Lesnar Reigns match happened, like, I looked at my friends, I'm like, I'm done with this crap. And I, honest to goodness, since that Mania, I have not watched a WWE-produced show at all. At all.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
And that's including NXT, too. Like, none. Like, I divorced it that night. I was like, that's it. I'm done.
I will say this. And me and John have gone back and forth a lot. And, you know, I'm a big pro WWE guy. I mean, I just, for some reason, I can't quit her. But if I had to rank the three with I'd go AEW, NXT, and WWE. AEW with the freshness, I like it. It's 2 hours. I like the storylines that they have, the realness of the actual professional wrestling. Like you said, it's not the Mickey Mouse cutter stuff you always see on WWF or WWE anymore. John, I will tell you this. WWE lost points with me this week because they had a chance when they did their quote-unquote draft for people.
Yeah.
So they did their draft,
wow.
And they had it set for Fox executives and USA Network executives, and they tried to create a quote-unquote war room atmosphere that after each pick – they would go to a camera,
yep,
pan into the war room of people standing up, cheering, high fives. It looked so cliche, cheesy. My skin itched every time I saw that. And it was on both shows. It was sickening. If I have to watch Baron Corbin and Chad Gable wrestle for the fifth straight week on WWE TV again, I'm probably going to go insane. We've seen it for the last four weeks. They're losing
right.
a lot of points with me, and they did lose some viewership. I mean, obviously AEW has won the title or the war in the last 2 weeks, but I don't consider that a war against WWE. I consider that a war against
right.
NXT. I think there'll be
right.
a point where AEW will move to Monday nights. I think they will. I really do. And the fact that both – I do like the fact where both sides are giving shots to the other person. So AEW this past week, I think they gave shots at WWE. I think it was Jack Swagger. And
mm-hmm.
I think it was
Jericho
promo, that said
yeah.
that, yeah,
the
said that was
promo.
The
yeah.
So there was that. WWE then tried to fire back. Samoa Joe fired back at AEW, which didn't land at all. I just heard it, and I was like, that's weird for them to do that. But
tell him
the
to
fact,
go lose another title match at a pay-per-view. He can just go
yeah.
do that.
The biggest problem, and Fred, I'll fill you in real quickly. The biggest problem that WWE has right now is that their top good guy, once again, but it's this time it's Seth Rollins.
He's a bad
he's
guy.
He's getting booed out of the arena because everybody wants Bray Wyatt, the hashtag the Fiend, to win this title. But as Jonathan says, do you really have Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, or is it just Husky Harris? How many personas do we have to give the guy? I like the persona. But
like snapping people's necks and stuff like that, like he snapped Finn Balor's neck so hard that he went down to Full Sail and didn't know where the Raw taping was. Like, he just ended up at this university in Orlando, like, yo, I'm on NXT. This is the thing, real quick, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but when you're on the outside looking in, and I admit it, like, I don't stand from a mountaintop and judge people who still watch WWE, but you kind of become it becomes evident how brainwashed you were as a kid, like, especially if you didn't live down south and get WCW or know about Southern, like, wrestling, as Vince McMahon likes to say in a very condescending way. You realize, like, Misawa was putting on five-star matches in Japan when we were watching, like, you know, Bret Hart versus whoever was in the New Generation era, the Goon mm-hmm. or One Man Gang or, you know, the Repo Man, like, when, like, Misawa's putting on five-star matches in Japan, and even Hulk Hogan, this dude's hitting enziguris in Japan, and then he comes to WWE, rips the shirt off, so, like, people have been brainwashed that, like, WWE is the only thing, and really the driving force of the WWE versus other wrestling companies is moments. They have moments instead of wrestling. So, like, for me, mm-hmm. like, being a Detroiter, as a Detroiter, I was there at the Joe for every event pretty much except that Vengeance where it was, like, a triple threat with, like, Undertaker and Rock and Angle, I think it was. I think that was the only show I didn't go to. But I remember Stone Cold jumping off the Zamboni and, like, beating the crap out of people. I don't remember a single match from that Raw, like, wrestling. So, like, I say that to say this.
Yep.
It's just – with their product, it's just moments. Like, people that know, because I have no idea other than, like, laughing at what friends are saying or memes or whatever people send me. That's the only way I can be current with what is going on with their product. But if I hear from someone, it's like, oh, did you see Lesnar with the boombox briefcase? Or, like, oh, the Fiend in the firehouse. Like, this dude's had one match, like, is there any good wrestling? Like, I never hear, like, oh, this match was killer. Like, on Raw or SmackDown, like, they had a five-star match. Like, this was a banger. This was a great. I always hear, oh, they did this one thing, and this thing happened, and, oh, the Fiend. And I never hear about wrestling. It's always moments or this spot happened or this promo or Bayley stabbed an inflatable tube guy or, like, it's never a good match. And that's,
I'll
like,
tell you. Ricochet,
you know,
is probably the only one that I really enjoy his matches because he puts himself 100% in every match. That's the only one I've enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
So besides,
yeah,
I will say NXT, and I told John he needed to watch it. I thought it was the match of the year. I really liked Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. They went 60 minutes, and there was so many great moments in that match and wrestling. I really enjoyed it. I thought that was the match of the year, and that was after watching all of WWE and NXT. I thought it, hands down, stole the show for the entire year so far. Still.
I'm going to ruin Johnny Gargano for you. Count how many times you should have a game, or I don't, maybe a drinking game, whatever you want to do. You should count how many times he looks at his hands in a match to make it have like a more epic feel. Like,
okay.
For fun, the next time you watch a Gargano like takeover match, watch
yep.
and see how many times he looks at his hands for dramatic effect when there's like a kick out or something.
I'll have to watch that. That should be
yeah.
that'll be good. So, well, Fred,
oh,
man, it's been awesome. Thank you for calling. That listen to your Detroit talk and then talking wrestling. I always love talking wrestling with other people. It's refreshing.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah.
So
yeah, get ready to watch AEW here in a few moments.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Again, Fred, thanks for calling. Unbeknownst to Brandon and to the audience, Fred used to run a podcast. I do believe it's called the Kayfabe Podcast.
Yeah, it was Kayfabe Connection. I used to do that with I had a co-host, Deion Wells. He does like a pure resu like Japan show now. It's the SOS Wrestle Talk. If you go on YouTube, you can just search SOS Wrestle Talk. But it's a lot of Japanese stuff, all Japan, New Japan. Noah, all that good stuff. I've since retired from the podcasting
Uh-oh.
Game, but I'm always
okay.
down to talk wrestling whenever the opportunity becomes available. So,
well, Fred, you know what? Like I said, Brandon said, you know, so we'll probably be doing an NBA show. I definitely want to pick your brain when it comes to the Detroit Pistons and where the direction you, how you fart, where you see that team going in. Again, man, thanks for calling in. And we're like, dude, I'll send you out a bat signal. You know what I'm saying? When that show comes on, I mean, we'll talk some hoops, we'll talk some wrestling.
Cool, sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks Fred. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right, John, that was good. We've had two good. Tyler, Fred calling in. Both of them very, very good. And, yeah, it was good. Now, you set me up. You teed me up on that for the anti-WWE. Actually, based off last week's show, so.
Hey. he's a little anti-WWE, but he's got his selling points on it. Why?
Yep.
And
it yeah, absolutely.
Sense.
I could not fault him for that. John, the last two things I have for you are going to be real quick NBA related before AEW starts. Carson Edwards, 8-3,
oh, wow.
Third quarter. John, I put on Twitter today, and there was a lot of traction that picked up with it. I said, I don't think I'll ever forgive the Pacers for trading their second-round pick and passing up Carson Edwards. That's just one of those things. That's going to be the Draymond-esque.
It's going to be not only – especially for the Pacers because Carson Edwards played right in his backyard, and they had the opportunity to draft him. And, again, like nobody saw that coming. But it kind of makes sense after you saw the performance last night. I'm not going to say we're in a soft league, but we're in a hands-off league where if only you can get to your spot, and he can shoot from anywhere on the floor, right? But as long as you get to your spot, you know what I'm saying, you can you should be successful. I think he's an energy. I mean, you know, he'll hit a rookie wall. He'll make rookie mistakes. Teams are actually playing him. You know, they want to. You know, now they're gonna play him come up half court now, right? For sure. But
yep.
teams are probably pressuring him a little bit more to get the ball out of his hands. But I can't be happier more for the kid. I hope he tears. I mean, I can't necessarily see rookie of the year. Not with Zion Williams. Not with things he's doing. The things he's doing is amazing. But equally amazing, but even to a lesser degree is what Carson. I said Carson. Oh my God, shame on me. I'm thinking about somebody else. But yeah, Carson Edwards has put on the show in the preseason. Again, the Pacers. It's not. But hey, Brandon, you watched the game last night. It's not like Goga is a bust. He's gonna be a rotational guy. He's gonna be
yeah.
a rotational guy.
He'll be 6 points, 2 rebounds, guy. Perfect. Just what Indiana needs for a first round pick.
No, you said another TJ Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. Oh man.
And Tyler Hansbrough.
Oh man. Hey, Brandon, what did you think about Zion Williamson real quick? I know you had something else you want to talk about. What did you think about Zion Williamson?
I mean, the dude's a beast and he's my guy. Duke South down there.
Duke South. Did Anthony Davis make a mistake?
No.
Long term. Talking about long term. Long term.
No.
Okay.
I think Anthony Davis is injury prone. That's the problem. I don't think he can stay healthy.
You're right.
I don't think he will play more than – I don't think he'll play more than 55, 60 games this year.
Right.
He may not play more.
He's already got hurt in preseason. Yeah, he already got hurt in preseason.
Yep. So – I don't know. I don't think it's a bad decision for him. He's doing what's best for him to win a title now, because with him being injury prone, you don't know how much longer he's going to be able to play at that type of level, you know?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yep.
All right, John. Last thing I have, it's taken over the crazy airwaves on everything you can possibly see. John, I have to know your thoughts, because I've yet to ask it even on a text message, because I wanted to hear it on here. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on this whole, and we're going to steer towards it because it's sports related. The NBA, LeBron James, and this China thing. John, what? I don't know a lot about it to speak on it confidently, but. And I don't want to say shut up and play, because I hate that and the stigma and the stereotype that comes with it. But can't we just stay in our lane that it's – let's worry about our ourselves. Let's worry about the United States. Let's focus on basketball and not all this other crap that's going on.
Right. So, you know what, Brandon, it's kind of what you alluded to, man. You know, I don't like getting political, but this does kind of delve into the political world. So that we won't get knee deep. We'll get ankle deep. How about that?
Correct.
So my two cents on it is Daryl Morey made a tweet, you know what I'm saying, supporting resistance of what happened in the communist regime of China. Again, Daryl Morey, that was interpreted by the Chinese as a sign of disrespect. You know what? He since deleted the tweet, and I don't even know what he said. To be honest with you, Brandon, I don't even know what he said. But you know what I'm saying, that's kind of what started this whole divorce between China and the NBA, and because China is a big revenue driver for the NBA. You know what I'm saying, there's over, I don't know, like 2 billion people that live in China, and like half of them watch basketball, right? So if I just told you half of 2 billion people watch basketball, you know, are interested in basketball in some form or fashion, you know, that's important to the NBA. Again, LeBron has been a champion of causes here in the United States for African Americans primarily, and you know, primarily it is what it is, and inner city youth. I put that in as well, either through their charitable work or putting together schools or whatnot. So a lot of what he said was seemingly like damage control to show the Chinese. Again, he since said he's not going to talk about it anymore, right? But you know who hasn't got heat for it, because Adam Silver is going to talk to the Chinese too about you know what I'm saying, about doubt there, but he hasn't incurred any heat. Why is Adam Silver go over there and talk? Don't he care about, you know what I'm saying, how people do things over, and like how people are treated over in China? But no, he's going over there to damage to repair this, you know what I'm saying, this tear in the relationship.
Right. Is it based on the stereotype of the two people? Because you have a businessman is it because of their stereotypes? The fact that Adam Silver is a businessman where he's going to try to tighten up things, and he's the commissioner of the league. Daryl Morey, who's obviously the front office GM and front office side business sense. And then you have a player, LeBron James. Yes, he's very global. He's iconic. My favorite player in the league when he plays and doesn't talk, because he doesn't make sense sometimes when he talks to the NBA. But is it because he's a player and people look at him as like, dude, like, why are you – like, when I first saw this, John – I cringed. Like, I was like, why are you getting involved in this? This has nothing right now to do with you to comment on
that.
Well,
he should have made a comment. He's the star player of the league. He should have made a comment. He just made the wrong comment. I'll be honest with you. That's just the truth. This is America. It's freedom of speech. You can say what.
Correct.
I chastised myself an hour ago for saying the F-bomb on a podcast. I know, you know what I'm saying, family members who don't necessarily say the F-bomb, you know what I'm saying? That's why I kind of caught myself. I say the F-bomb all the time in my own home, but on the airways, it's a little bit different story. But again, so it's seemingly said a seemingly not in support of what American people believe. LeBron went a whole ton of and said basically we kind of need to sequester, you know, to the gentleman. Again, that's a whole mess, and I think that's why he shut up since. Okay, they're not going to the Rockets are not going to fire Daryl Morey. They're not going to ask him to fall on his sword. Guess what? Because you know what happened. If all those things happened, Brandon, there'd be a lawsuit because that would be unheard of. Okay, that would be unheard of. So the NBA, whether you think LeBron's a fraud, not telling you, but whoever's listening, you think LeBron's a hypocrite, a fraud, or whatnot, about, you know what I'm saying, he was trying to repair. He did it the wrong way. Instead of bringing a wrench, he brought a hammer. You know what I'm saying? instead of being the diplomat, he went over there sounding like a dumb jock. So
yeah.
He's going to have to own that somewhat. I mean, it's not like he's not never owned, you know what I'm saying, bad comments before or in the moment, you know what I mean? But again, I'm not in support of any type of human suffering in any way. You know, a lot of times I think Brandon, you know, as Americans think more abroad than they think about their people at home. You know, again, this is the land of milk and honey, but there's also a lot of suffering going on at home too. So, you know, I mean, we need to think about that too before you start, you know, saying poking the backyards of somebody else.
Yep,
that's how I look.
Absolutely, perfect, and we'll keep it at that. It was just so sports related and sports centric this week that I feel like we would do our audience base unjust if we didn't talk about it for a minute. So,
yep.
I agree. Any last things, John?
I went to go see Gemini Man. It probably should have been a Netflix movie, but it was all right. Will Smith ain't got it no more.
Uh-oh. Dang. I was supposed to go see Joker. Have not seen it yet, but going to see it very, very, very soon.
Okay.
What's your thoughts? Are you going to go see it?
I probably not. It doesn't connect, man. Not to geek out on everybody, man. It doesn't connect with their universe of superheroes in that particular franchise of superhero movies. So why go see a one-shot movie? Yes, I hear it's good. Yes, I hear the people love it. Yes, it's greatly acted, as I know it would be. Hell, the kid's a great actor. Hell, he played Johnny Cash. Now he's playing the freaking Joker. That tells you how far he can go, you know what I'm saying, with his acting ability. But will I go check it out? No, because it doesn't connect.
Damn. You know what I mean? Okay. Next Crossroads Sports Radio episode that we do, we're going to give everybody a little tease. We like to call it a little tease. Me and John will, on the next episode, give our top five horror movies of all time that we enjoy. Top five horror movies. So,
my name's T.
Don't even say it now, but we got Halloween coming up, so we'll save that for next week's show. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Please share, like, subscribe. Big news, by the way, let me, before I go and let you finish. Big news with Crossroads Sports. We are working right now with a partnership. John, you don't even know this. This is the thing. There's going to be a lot more betting and sports gambling stuff on our website, on Facebook page. There is some things going on that are going to be exciting for us. And it's going to get a lot more viewership, a lot more listens, a lot more likes. And I want to thank our people we already have with us right now with Crossroads Sports. We've been since thick and thin, since the beginning. I want to thank all you, because without you guys being our foundation, our base, we're just talking to our two guys talking to ourselves. So I want to thank all you guys for that and where this is going in the future. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So thank you, guys. Enjoy. Have a great week. Be safe. And I'll see you guys again next week. John, I know you will as well. I'll let you finish this, my friend.
I just want to thanks again to Tyler Fenwick and the Indianapolis Recorder and all the support they give us, me and Brandon. Brandon got his own surprises. I got my own surprises, too. We'll probably, in the upcoming weeks, probably have some folks from the Indy 11, the Indianapolis soccer team that we have. We'll be talking with some folks about Indy 11. They're actually playing right now, but they're getting to go into the playoffs. And I know there's not necessarily, I know that the soccer world is growing, and guess what? We're growing with it. So folks from the Indy 11 will be talking with us in the upcoming weeks. Other than that, man, I just want to thank everybody for supporting. I want to thank everybody for listening. And like you said, we'll see you next week. top five horror movies. Get ready.
Crossroads Sports.